Hi there. You're about to enjoy a recording from Wellspring Church in central Watford. You may have found us via our website, wellspring-church.org. You can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. But even better, why not come to one of our services in one of our congregations? We would love to meet you and encourage you along your journey of faith. With that in mind, do know that we are praying for you, that as you listen to this recording, you'll be inspired, encouraged, challenged, given keys to live life to the full as Jesus intended, and to bring transformation with his amazing love to the people around you. God bless you.
I don't know how you are following instructions. I don't know how many of you, the first thing you do when you get Flatpak is get the instructions out. Anyone second guess Google Maps? Think you know a better way, a quicker way? And you arrive 2 minutes after the route that it said to go the first time. I think there are times in our life when we need direction. And I want to talk about that. Particularly, I would say, as a follower of Christ, I say that that's what a Christian is, someone who follows Christ. It's not someone who goes to church, but someone whose life is orientated towards following. That for someone who follows Jesus, there are some times when we've got questions, big questions actually, things about, well, if I follow Jesus, where do I live? Where does he want me to live? Well, how much money do I invest in a house? How big a mortgage do I take? What job do I go for? What promotion do I push for? We've got questions. If I follow Jesus, what about a life partner? How does that work? Does God have an opinion about that? What about what I do with my partner? What about the decisions I make? What about how I name my kids? Now, and I don't mean the things you say under your breath that you hope they don't hear. No one's ever called their children a brat. It's just me. No, just joking. That's a joke. It's not serious. I've never called my children a brat. I've thought it once or twice. I'm only human. But there are times when we get to moments in our life, we have to make a decision. And our question is, if I follow Jesus, what do I do in this situation? Where do I go? What church am I part of? Where do I put my efforts, my talents? Who do I trust my money with? Those are decisions that we make. And maybe you are in the place today where you're kind of facing one of those decisions. And if you're not today, you will be, before long, needing to make some of those decisions. And I want to speak into that. And I want to do that by telling a story. That's just a great story. But I want to tell you the end of the story before I tell you the rest of it. Is that right? So the end of the story is really cool. There's a businesswoman who's a leader in the fashion industry. She's got significant influence in a significant city. She becomes a follower of Christ. And she leads her family to Christ. In this same place, around about this story, there is a slave girl that is set free from possession by a demon. So she's kind of fortune-telling supernaturally, weird stuff going on. She's set free from that bondage of that demonic influence. The same kind of end of the story, there is a church planted where there was no church before. The gospel is preached where it wasn't preached before, and there's the beginning of community transformation. Now, I've been doing this for a few years now, but I still get excited by this idea that God's agenda is that the good news of Jesus Christ will be planted like a seed in someone's life, and when that seed is received by good soil, the power of God is such that the ripple effect of one person's life being changed can bring transformation for a whole community. This is one of those stories. That God is in the, because he loves every community. He wants to bring transformation. This is a transformation story. And along the way, there's two missionaries who get wrongly accused of some things and get in trouble with the authorities, and they end up in prison. And in prison, they start praising God, even though there are rats running around them and their hands are in stocks, and heaven shakes the prison. There's an earthquake, and the prison doors open, but they stay in, and instead they lead the prison guard to Jesus, and his family become followers of Christ. It's a great story. In the end, the gospel goes to new territory. And we understand as we read the book of Acts, it starts off with a promise that the disciples, the followers of Christ, would be witnesses of what Jesus did in rising from the dead. And he says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Okay, we've read that, in Judea and in Samaria. And then where? The outermost, the ends of the earth, beyond the edge of our map, if you like. Well, do you know that this story happened beyond the edge of the map in the unreached place? The gospel spreads. All because of what we're going to read in Acts chapter 16. Now, a few weeks ago when I was reading this, it grabbed me because I think it's amazing when God says no to us when we want to do something good. Do you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit wants to tell us no when everything in it says, well, I want to do something good. We're going to explore that together as we look at Acts chapter 16. Now, just before this, it says some brilliant things about how Timothy was honored by all the believers. One of my favorite verses in the Bible at the beginning of Acts chapter 16. There's also the next bit about when he was circumcised as an adult. That's not one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Anyway, we're going to pick up the story from Acts chapter 16. From verse 6. So they're on a journey. I need to tell you that before we get to this point, they're on a journey to encourage believers. So where there are believers, they're going to strengthen the church. In verse 5 of Acts 16, if you've got your Bibles open, you'll see that it says, and they strengthened the churches that were growing everywhere. Wherever they went, they were strengthening churches. Then in verse 6, something really exciting begins to happen. It says, next, Paul and Silas. Now, Paul was traveling with his companion Silas. They traveled through the area of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. The Holy Spirit prevented them from preaching the word of God. Isn't that, for me anyway, that grabs me as, sorry? Then goes on to say this. Then, coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north for the province of Bithynia. But again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. So instead, they went on through Mysia to the seaport of Troas. That night, Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia, northern Greece, was standing there, pleading with him, come over to Macedonia and help us. So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. Today's message is part of a series that I've been sharing over the last couple of months called The Power of Permission. It's about doors, opening doors, closing doors, doors that are open before us, whether we choose to go through certain doors. I'll remind you. The first one, the door was here before in the first message, and we recognize that the Lord knocks on the door and he waits for us to invite him in. The permission that we give initially is, will we let God into the house of our lives? Will we let him into every room of our house? Because he comes with a takeaway because he wants to feast with us, but he comes with a toolbox because there's a few improvements that he wants to make in our life. The first question is, will you and I give God permission to come into all of our house, if you like, all of our life, and do what he wants to do? For some of us, we're still stuck at that door wondering and deciding whether we really want him to have his way in our life or not. My dream is that within Wellspring Church, every single member, regardless of our age or how long we call ourselves we've been a Christian, actually we would be willing to let God come into the whole of our lives and do what he wants because we trust him so much. Can I hear an amen to that? If you're here as a visitor, the more times you say amen, the faster I go, the sooner we get out of here, all right? So the next message was we were on the other side of the door. Inside is a party of grace. Inside is, you know, the prodigal son story. Inside is a celebration of the greatness of God in someone's life, the forgiveness, the grace party, and we have a decision to make. Will we enter into the party of grace in someone else's life? Will we have the humility to celebrate when God does great things for other people? That's a big question. Will we do that? Will we come on into the party? Or like the older brother, will we be stubborn and say, well, he hasn't done it for me? Or will we enter in and celebrate what God does for someone else? That's about jealousy and dealing with it in God's presence. The third message was just a couple of weeks ago, and it was about letting other people in, about submitting to each other out of reverence for Jesus, that we actually would, if you like, obey each other. In other words, that we would regard the body of Christ and other believers more highly, that we would expect the Holy Spirit to speak into our lives through other people. No, I don't mean on UCB radio, although if you tune in on Tuesday, you'll be able to hear us. Anyway, I don't mean on Christian radio. I don't mean through just a thought you had. I mean through someone else, flesh and blood, someone else challenging the decisions that we make. Will we let others into our world to challenge us, to refine us, to make us more like the people we want to be? Will we submit to each other? That's the third question. The fourth one today is, in the title is really simple. The question is really simple. The challenge is really simple. Let him lead. Let him, the Holy Spirit, let God lead. Let him lead. Please, let him lead. Now, we understand, don't we, that that the Bible teaches us. We have a very high respect in Wellspring Church for the words written here contained in these 66 books. We're not in authority over them. We submit to their authority in our lives. But we understand that whilst the Bible teaches, and it does, the Holy Spirit leads. The Bible on its own in that sense is not entirely enough, because we need the Holy Spirit to be sent to illuminate the pages of this book. The Bible teaches us, but the Holy Spirit leads us. And that is evident in this story that we've read from Acts chapter 16. The Holy Spirit is real. He is active. He is guiding. He is pointing. He is nudging. He is rebuking and correcting all the time. And I wonder if we are willing to recognize when he closes a door and when he opens it for us. And it's okay for God to close a door on us, yes? If it's a door he doesn't want us to go through. Now, I know some of you have probably already looked up Asia Minor on your map. Maybe already the back of your Bible, you've already looked at the map. But for the sake of accuracy, I'm going to show you here a bit of the journey of this missionary journey of Paul. Okay, so here we have what is now modern-day Turkey, and there's loads of kind of windy bits like that. Okay, so this is kind of Turkey. You recognize it already? Okay, So this is Turkey now. It was called Asia Minor. This district here was called Asia. And our story begins in a town here called Iconium. Now, Iconium was where they started, the beginning of this passage in verse 6. And so they set out from Iconium, and the natural place for them to go is over here, which is the city of Ephesus. Now, there was a lot of great stuff happening there. It was a kind of influential place. And there's kind of like a mountain range. See the mountains? There you go. There's a mountain range here. So there's a natural valley, once they get past some lakes that are here, a natural valley to go down and then pop up into Ephesus. And the text says that they were on their way to go and do that, okay? And they set out on their journey. And they set on their journey to go down through this valley. And then something happens, and the Holy Spirit says no to them. The Holy Spirit says no to them. I don't want you to go there. Puts up some kind of spiritual roadblock. It's like the Holy Spirit prevented them, forbidded them, prohibited them from going where they thought they should obviously go. The Holy Spirit says no. And so they're on their way west at that point. So I think, well, if it's not going west, we're not going back south. We're not really going east. We've been there already. And so I don't know how God guided them. I don't know whether it was a feeling they all got together. They worked as, you know what? We're setting out. It just doesn't seem right to us. So we're going to go north. So they set out, and instead of going west, they go north. And this area here is called Phrygia and Galatia, these two districts. And I haven't drawn it very accurately, you'd be surprised to know, but there's two provinces here, and they make their way. Can you see that over there? So they make their way north. Now, at that point, they're probably thinking, hey, we're going north. That's what we're doing. The Holy Spirit wants us to go north. And so they carry on going north. If someone stopped them in the road, so what are you doing? Oh, guess what? We're going north. That's where we're going. And they get up to the point that's called Mysia. Now, there is actually, there's like a river here, that kind of comes down like this, and this area is called Bithynia. Now, they're probably on their way, they're praying for Bithynia. Are we going to go north? We haven't been to Bithynia yet. We're going to pray for Bithynia. Probably as Paul and Silas going along, let's pray for all the lives that are going to be changed in Bithynia because we're going to preach the gospel there. They get to a place called Mysia, and I don't really know. I haven't read enough. There's probably a point at which they got to the edge of the river or something happened. It says the Spirit of Jesus again prevented them from preaching the gospel. That's a good thing to do, isn't it? How many people do you know need preventing from preaching the gospel? No, don't say anything. But that's not usually what we say from here, is it? So they get to Mysia, and actually, Luke says simply that they turned and they carried on through Mysia, and they end up at the port city of Troas. Now, Troas was a port city that linked, if I could spell it, they get to Troas. And in this story, it says, when they get to Troas, that night, they get to Troas, they settle in, they find somewhere to stay. Paul has a vision. And he has a vision of a man pleading with him from Macedonia. Now, how did he know he was from Macedonia? Was it his accent? Did Macedonians wear strange hats? That's what I thought maybe it was. Maybe it was the way he was dressing. Or maybe it was a famous figure but it's somebody he followed on Twitter that he recognized. I don't know what it was. Somehow he knew that this man was from Macedonia. Maybe he actually said, hello, Paul, I'm from Macedonia. Could have been that. That's probably what happened. Anyway, he has a vision. So over breakfast that morning, Paul says, look, guys, I had this dream. I had this dream of a man from Macedonia. I think we should go there. We have an invitation. We have an open door amongst the Macedonians. And they could have sat there thinking, do you know what, Paul? I think that lamb kebab wasn't cooked that well last night. Or maybe it was the hummus. One of those things had gone off, and I think this is a bad idea. Instead, actually, together, and I emphasize together, they recognized that the apostle had a dream that was leading them forward. And so they set sail from Troas, and there's kind of different land masses here, and there's a... I don't know how to pronounce it, but there's an island here called Samothrace or Samothrace or Samothrace. I don't really know how to say it. So they make their way and they travel over to Samothrace, and then they end up, and there is this huge area, which is the northern part of Greece. And there's some islands here and stuff, just for the accuracy's sake. If you want to, you can take a picture of this, overlay it over Google Maps, and you tell, I'm not lying at all. So they get to this place here, and this city... we've heard about, perhaps, if you've been in church for some while, is the city of Philippi. And Luke makes the point, by this time Luke's on the journey, Luke makes the point that this was a city in a significant province, a Roman colony. It was an important place. Trade routes went through there. This was a big deal. This was like getting into the Watford of northern Greece. And so they go beyond... They go beyond because of the leading of the Holy Spirit. And if you like, in Philippi, they get an enormous yes. So they have a no here and they have a no here, but that's because something happened here that was a massive, massive yes. They find themselves by a riverbank, if you read the story on, next to a lady called Lydia who makes fabric and is a businesswoman and she's led to Christ and the ripple effect of all those things and a slave girl's free and then they end up in prison. You know, how many of you know when God leads you, he might take you through prison for the sake of someone else's salvation, for the transformation of a community. He might take you through the stocks. That's another message for another day. The point here is this. What happens here opens up new vistas for the gospel. What happens here in this place, if you can see that over here, is this whole area. The ends of the earth is open to the gospel. Churches end up being planted. There end up being believers here, and it just goes crazy. And it goes from here to mainland Europe, ultimately, and even to Great Britain, and even to Watford. The gospel comes. Because the apostolic dream was joined by and shared by an apostolic team that then bring the gospel to all nations. Isn't that amazing? All because they listened when God said no. They listened. Now, to stop you doing good things might mean sometimes God's leading you to do something great. Let me say that again. Sometimes God will stop you doing a good thing because he wants you to do the great. Some of us, friends, hear me. we're in danger of settling for mediocrity. We're in danger of making choices that have no risk attached. We're in danger of making choices that have no faith requirement. And we just do the good thing when God could do something great through us. We could do that easily as a church, so easily as a church. Grind the handle, go through the motions, or we could be ready when the Holy Spirit says, hey, I want you to go over here. Some of you have asked good questions. What are we doing in Stevenage? For those of you who don't know, a couple of years ago, God grabbed my heart and a few of us as leaders with an opportunity to repurpose a church in Stevenage. Now, God loves Stevenage. He cares about Stevenage. And some of us realized that he wanted us to go over there. And you know, what are we doing there? Where's the fruit? I tell you, the fruit is forming. The fruit is forming. It's going to take some time, but we're going to see that part of that community transformed with the love of God. We will, because the Holy Spirit led us. Well, it doesn't really make sense. Have we got the resources? Have we got the money? Have we got the people? Well, not really. We haven't got it all lined up. I don't think God wants us to get everything lined up. Wouldn't it be a shame if we would totally had everything lined up and planned out? How boring would that be? Far better to hear the prompting of God, make sure it's confirmed by people that you respect, pray about it, get peace about it, and then run into the purposes of God. Some of us need, you can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. He wants to give you a dream and a vision. Maybe through someone else, maybe in your own life, he wants you to do great and he might stop you doing good in order to do that great thing. One commentator said that God moves sometimes not just through permission and constraint. In other words, say, yeah, you do that and do that, just stick with that. Sometimes he guides us through prohibition and restraint. In other words, he won't let us go somewhere. Now, would the gospel end up going to Bithynia in the north? Yes. Ultimately, would there be the Christians there? Would there be churches there in Bithynia? Yes, there would. Ultimately, would he return to Ephesus and encourage the believers there? Yes, he would, but just not right now, not on this journey, because there was a bigger yes, there were some no's along the way. Had they gone there, would good stuff have happened? Yes. Had they gone there, would they have planted churches? Would great things have happened? Yes, but the Holy Spirit said, just not here now. Because it's somewhere I need you to be. Because there's a woman called Lydia by a riverbank. There's a woman called Lydia by a riverbank who needs to hear of my love. And I need you there at the time when she's sitting there and open to the good news about Jesus Christ. Friends, you and I have got Lydias in our life. In our workplaces where we are, we've got Lydias in our life. And God wants to set divine appointments with us that could have massive impact, not just on one life, but on a family, on a community. That's what this text tells me anyway. And I've got some unpopular news right now, is that you cannot determine your own path. Sorry, and that's really, some of you look at me as like, but hang on, that self-help magazine, that web article I just read says, my life is in my hands. Well, if you want your life in your hands, sling your hook and have a great life, but you're going to come across some difficult things. You're going to make a mess of it if you want your life to be just in your hands. We need the humility that Jeremiah spoke about when he wrote about this subject. He knew who God was, and this is what he says in Jeremiah chapter 10. And this is the message paraphrase. He says, I know, God, that mere mortals can't run their own lives. That men and women don't have what it takes to take charge of life. This is his prayer. So correct us, God, as you see best. Oh, wouldn't it be great to have a church full of people really, really meant that? Wouldn't it be good if I really, really meant that every day of my life? Lord, today I'd really love you to correct me. Hello? Don't lose your temper. That would be the end of us. And he goes on to say how bad it would be if God's wrath, his anger, was meted out. Now, however we read that text, I think it's important for us to align ourselves with Jeremiah's humility and say, do you know what? On our own, we can't plan our lives. We need the Holy Spirit to lead us. We need him. A number of years ago, and please don't be alarmed by this. Please don't. A number of years ago, maybe 3 years ago, I was just at one of those very human points as a church leader of just thinking about packing it in. Now, some of you might see it. God has blessed me with confidence in him. And that's there most of the time. But some days it isn't. And I remember waking up one morning, and it's always difficult when people leave the church, when people move away, and things kind of reshuffle. It's painful, okay? And in those times, you just wonder, I just wonder if maybe I just should leave this place. Maybe we should go somewhere else and do something else. And there's that moment, and I decided on my run, I had two routes to go. I thought, I've got some things I want to chat through with the Lord. So instead of doing the 5K, I did the 7K, which is kind of pushing it given the time that I had in the morning. But I decided to go running anyway. So I was running, and as I was running, I was just praying through, God, I just need you to speak to me. I feel like just packing it all in. I think I've had enough of Watford, or at least I think Watford's had enough of me. I just was asking these questions. I get to the end of the route, and I'm gladly on my way down the hill to go back home. And I sense the Holy Spirit say, turn left. And I'm like, no, I'm not turning left. That means going around again. That's another kilometer at least. And I've already been the other way. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, just turn left and go back. Okay, Lord, so you better show me something. He's like, yeah, I'm going to show you something. This is just a conversation in my head, but I know it's God. As I'm running along, I'm hoping that there's a Bible in the bush open, a page that can tell me something. Thus says the Lord. I'm looking like, no Bible, cigarette packets, things like that, but no Bible, just running along. And I'm looking around for some kind of sign from God. If I'm going to run this direction, God, you better show me something. I'm looking around, and I just sense him say, look up. And I just turned up the A41 back up towards the Dome roundabout. And I never run in this direction normally because I'm usually going the other way, like home. And so I'm running up, and I look up, and there in front of me is the big sign that says, welcome to Watford. And the town crest says, audentia, which means with great boldness. Or now translated kind of be bold. And as I saw it, I knew what God was saying is I haven't finished with you yet. I haven't finished with Watford yet. Stop being double-minded. Just trust me. There's things I'm going to do. And I'm telling you, that's all I needed. And there was literally a sign. Now, just occurred to me. I asked for a sign and there's a sign. So the Lord needed... I needed the Lord at that moment, and he was there for me because he didn't want me to give up. So there is a sense in which, as we go through this journey, we need to be honest about our need for guidance, and then when it comes to be willing to go with it. And you know, sometimes it's much harder to stay than it is to leave. Hello? Most of the time, it's much easier to run away than stay. I've got a few lies that I want to knock down, and then we're going to do some praying together. These are some lies, just reflecting on this passage. The first lie, and they're all just simple. What you'll get here is just simple, I hope. The first thing is, the lie is that God doesn't direct you. There seems to be some people to think that God's just set everything in motion, and he doesn't really care what you do. Now, I'm not sure he's the God that tells us what to put on our toast in the morning, you know, unless there's some particular thing he wants to show us, as in we are free to make choices. But it's a lie to say that God doesn't care enough to direct us. He does. The truth to counteract that is that God loves to lead you. He leads you because he loves you, and he loves to lead you. He loves it when you ask him for guidance. I know sometimes it goes quiet. I know sometimes you're in the slough of, I don't know, nothing against any slough as a place, but... Sometimes you're in a place where you don't know what he's saying and you need people around you. Hello? You need people around you to triangulate your decision making. We'll come to that in a bit. But you find yourself in this place. But the truth of this is that God loves to lead his children. He loves to lead you, and he leads you because he loves you. Secondly, that no is always negative. That's the lie. No is always negative. Well, the God I believe in always says yes. Does he? God, I believe in, is a God of love, so he wouldn't say no to me, would he? He's a gentle, he said, no, he's God. Oh, yes, whatever you want to do. Yes, yes, perfect. Some of us have this idea of God as like a yes man. He ain't no yes man, he's God. So no is not always negative. In fact, no makes way for yes. No makes way for yes. In this story, no Don't go preach the gospel there because I've got a big yes. They think they know what the yes is. They think it's going north and they get too far and he says, no, but we're going north. What's wrong with Bithynia? They're all heathens there. Oh yeah, no, because they're somewhere else. They get to Troas, not because they're told to, but they've already gone. They don't want to go south. They don't want to go east, go back. They've gone north. Well, what's left? They've got to go west. No is a great way of making room and making way for yes. Thirdly, the lie is that my daily choices don't make any difference. That's a lie. Oh, it doesn't really matter. If I visit this website, it doesn't really matter. If I am rude to my neighbor, it doesn't really matter. If I could have given something and I hold it back, it doesn't really matter. If I'm unkind, it doesn't matter. If I leapfrog somebody to get that promotion and I step on people on the way, it doesn't really matter. I think we know really that it does matter. The truth is actually that today's choices can bring transformation tomorrow. We can decide to do things, to be things, to say things, to pray things today that could bring transformation tomorrow. And not just in our lives, but in the Lydias and in the Philippi's of our life. There are whole communities that can be impacted the other side of our obedience. Amen? A couple more thoughts. Fourthly, there's a lie that says that where and when doesn't really matter. And this is a curse of our age. The globalization, the global village, the kind of anywhere kind of attitude. Well, I could do my job anywhere. I could go anywhere. It's too expensive to live in Watford. I could go anywhere. I could move away and I could still do my job. I can be anywhere. It doesn't really matter. I could live my life, earn a living. It doesn't really matter. I'm telling you, the story tells us anyway, there is a time and a place. Under God, time and place matters. Yes, they would get to Bithynia, but not at that time. Yes, they would go to Ephesus again, but not at that time. There is a time and a place. Every place has a time, if you like. I want to be part of a body of believers, I believe I am, who are so determined to be effective in seeing that transformation, so willing to follow God, whatever the cost, however difficult it is, that we will recognize that there is a timing and a season in God where he says, I want you to do this, go here, do that. And the answer from us is yes. Even if we don't know how it's all going to work out. The fifth one is really important here. And that is the lie is that you're on your own. Such a lie. You're on your own. The world says you determine your own path. The world around us says you're your own God. You're at the center of your own world. And that the ultimate end is self-fulfillment or self-actualization. In other words, that the whole world exists so that you can become the best version of you. You know it's true because all the advertising buys into that. Be the perfect you. Be the new you. It's all about you becoming you. I'm going to become more of the me that and the world exists so that I might become me, have the friends that me wants, and effectively I could end up, and if I've got Christian faith, I could have a me church, and it starts when I get there. Hello? starts at 11:15. But we can end up in the place where, sorry, I don't know where that came from. we want everything to happen according to me. And we can take this into guidance, think, well, I'm on my own. I've got to decide myself. No, you don't. Paul had his vision confirmed by his team. Luke is there. They sit together over breakfast. You know what? Yeah, I think the apostle's dream needs an apostle's team. And count me in. Let's go. We decided together we're going to go to Macedonia. I believe in the same way God is building a network of relationships around you and not around you. That's wrong. God is plugging you into an existing network of relationships around him where you might make decisions together. Think of making a big decision? You can't make it on your own. Make it on your own, you'll be on your own. Hello? God wants to join us with people who can help us make really good decisions at those junction points in our lives. Why? Because his name should be glorified across the nations. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you, keep letting him lead. The truth is that we travel together and he wants those visions to be shared that we might together let him lead us together. Helen and I are in an interesting point. We sense the Holy Spirit saying no to something good for us. Helen's ministry here is phenomenal. It blessed so many people. I see what happens behind the scenes. And I'm saying this as a fellow leader, not as a husband, okay? Just for a moment. She's incredible and actually has worked way and above and beyond the call of duty for years. And yet the Holy Spirit says to us, now is the time to reduce Helen's hours for Wellspring Church in order to be part of something new, in order to do more writing, but more than that, and there'll be time to share about this on another occasion, in order to see a change in Watford that requires something that goes beyond the boundaries of the church, that actually connects civic leaders and charity leaders and companies and businesses to, as I've already shared, I think before, to kind of pawn-proof the next generation. And we've decided to give a day a week so Helen can do that from our own time. I want to tell you, that's a ridiculous idea. It's ridiculous on my part. Trust me, it's ridiculous on our part to do that. Who would do that? God would do that. Thank you. God would do that because he's up to something. So I'm not talking to you about something that is just a theory from a book. I'm seeking to live that. We're seeking to live that every day. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord. Wellspring Church is not the Roberts provider. Hallelujah. Hello? God is, and he provides, and he does, day after day. I don't know what the Lord's guiding you into. Maybe you're not at that juncture point right now, but you will be soon. And my desire is that you'd give God permission to let him lead you, that you'd be ready to hear his voice, that you'd be connected to others, can help you discern what that voice is, because there are Philippi's at the end of our obedience. Let him lead. And my desire is that we would never slip into the rail tracks of predictability, that we'd never fall into the slough of kind of mediocrity, but that we would be a family that would be ready to do whatever the Lord leads us to do and to trust him in doing just that. Amen? And my prayer is that you'll be part of that in your own personal life, but also that we together might see God do great things because of our willingness to follow. Now the band are going to come up and we're going to pray. I want to ask a question. What is the Holy Spirit doing in you and around you? Has he been saying no to you recently and you keep shoving the door? Look, friends, if he's shut the door, leave it shut. But it seems like a good thing. Seems like a good relationship. Seems like the right choice. Yeah, but if he's stopping it, hear him and ask him for further instruction. God wants to bring some people into a greater place of clarity, and I'm going to pray for that now. I just encourage you to expect guidance. And the posture of surrender is all that it takes. And in a moment, as we make our response, I'm going to invite you to take that posture of surrender to the Lord. Just say, God, whatever you want to do in my life is yours. And in fact, I'm going to invite you to come to the front, particularly if you today are wanting to make a physical step to say, I'm here, God. I want you to lead me. I'm going to invite you to take that step. We're all going to pray in just a moment. And we remember, it, as it says in Luke 22, when Jesus was in Gethsemane, he had a choice to make. And he let the Father lead. He said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. And we're here today because of the fruit of that decision. We're saved today because of the fruit of that decision. So in following Christ, can we also give him permission to lead us? Wherever that leads us, whatever happens as a result. I want to encourage you where you are right now. Just maybe close your eyes, try not to be distracted by the people around you. And in your own way, just begin to pray to God and ask him. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here. You're a good God. Thank you, Lord, that you have times and places for us. Holy Spirit, would you move in this place? God of clarity, would you bring clarity? God of wisdom, bring wisdom, we pray. Thank you. Ben and the band are going to lead us. If you want to come forward, just during the first couple of verses of this song, just make your way forward. If you want to make a physical response and say, this is me, God, I'm here and ready. And if someone next to you needs to push past you, just let them and make it easy for them to come forward. Let's make our response. Okay. Before we sing the rest of this song, I wonder if everyone here at the front, just lift your hands to heaven. It's a sign of surrender. Present to Him yourself, all your talents and time and treasure, where you go, your plans. I wonder if the rest of us, where we are, if this isn't for you right now, you want to pray, just pray for those who are here at the front. Just join with me in this prayer. Holy God, your ways are perfect. All your ways are true and just. Every step you lead us in is wise and good and true. And so, Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters in the name of your Son, Jesus. And we speak wisdom and clarity and faith in the name of Jesus. Faith to step out and to do what you've called them to do. Faith, Lord, to go beyond, to step beyond what they've known before. And in some cases, faith to stay where you've rooted them and to not be quick of foot. Lord, I thank you that you're a God who brings guidance. And we pray right now, Holy Spirit, would you lead and guide our brothers and sisters? And I speak life and faith and clarity in the name of Jesus. And I ask, Lord, that you would bring visions and dreams. Lord, that you'd bring revelation about the step to take and the thing to do and the plans to make. But Lord, would you shut every door that is in the wrong direction? And Lord, would you open every door that leads us into the path of righteousness and truth and justice? We pray this in the name of Jesus. And so we pray now, even as we sing, Holy Spirit, that you come and bring confirmation, bring clarity in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's keep praying as we sing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In just a moment, we're going to invite the kids back in, but there's a couple of things I'd love for us to do. Firstly, those of you, just stay here standing, those of you who have responded in this way. Some of you are getting a word or a picture for someone, as in God is wanting you to go to that person, even if you don't know them, and to pray an encouragement over them. I'd encourage you in just a moment to come out and to actually come and do that. That's at least for some one person here. God said, do you know what? He's shown you something for one of these guys. Let's be family together. Share it with them. Pray over it with them and they'll weigh it up. The second thing, I've had a picture in my head of an old treasure chest. And this treasure chest looks like it's rusted shut. But I sense the Lord saying, actually, just open it and it will fling wide open. There's some, it might be to do with treasures from the past. It might be to do with finances. But you've looked at the situation, you presume that it's closed shut. And actually, all you need to do is apply your hand to the latch and it's going to fly open. That's a promise of provision for someone. So if that's for you, just take hold of that. There's some stuff been stored up for you and it's actually going to become available. All you need to do is trust Him. Just open the chest and it's going to be there. What you need that's been stored up is going to be there for you. So Lord, I pray that if that's for someone here, you would, Lord, give them courage and faith to trust you again for provision. You're God who provides. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks so much for listening to this recording. We hope it's encouraged you, challenged you, and more than anything, that you've been aware of the voice of God and the presence of Jesus with you wherever you've been listening to this recording. Hey, if you have a testimony of what God is doing in your life and how He's speaking to you that you'd like to share with us, we'd love to hear from you. Just email admin@wellspring-church.org. Do get in touch. We can't wait to hear from you. And may God be near you and His peace be yours for the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.